We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's JR holding it down for you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio, still tipping on four foes. Okay, Siobhan, we got a DJ on the other side of the boards today for this Easter Sunday. Happy Easter to everybody out there. I hope the family is good. I hope the weather is good for you. Are you outside enjoying it? Maybe you're inside, with the tube on while you got the radio on. Maybe you got the radio.com app. All right, I'm going to be here with you until 8 p.m. You can tune in. You can get at me easy. Follow us online at 929 The Game. You can get me easy anytime at JR Sport Brief on Twitter and Instagram, even Facebook. I'm around. I can talk to you. And one thing we're going to talk about right now, we got to talk about the Atlanta Braves. It's a must. You know, when we went into this season, I pretty much said it was going to be tough for them to come out one more time at the top of the standings in their division. That's just facts. You know, you think about the National League East, you could think about the pitching that Washington has with the Nats. You could think about all of the offensive firepower that the Phillies have, and now you want to add a Harper to that situation. You could think about the Mets and their pitching, and their pitching may be real interesting now with Mr. DeGrom having a little bit of an elbow issue. But there was no doubt about the Braves' offense. And that's proven to be true, especially when you look at somebody like Dansby Swanson, who has now stepped up and looks like someone who actually was selected as the number one overall pick a few years ago. When you have a Ronald Acuna who looks like he's continuing what he's been able to do, and he can come up clutch even when he's like on an 0-for-4 last night in that big comeback win. So the Braves have the offense. Freddie Freeman still getting on base. Ozzie Albies getting a new contract. Even though a lot of people would say him and his agent got holes for that contract, they took too much. They took too little money too soon. But the offense is okay for the Braves. Even Mr. McCann, legend, behind the backstop, the catcher. He hits his first home run yesterday. He injured himself about a week and change ago. He comes back. He's healthy. But what we have to focus in on, if the Braves are going to go back to the playoffs, they can get in via wild card. They don't necessarily have to win a division. But if the Atlanta Braves are going to compete, the pitching has to step up. That's a fact. And I'm not just talking about in the bullpen. I'm talking about the starting pitchers. You know, we can talk about the abundance of pitching that the Braves have. And I know we've dealt with injuries, and now you have a Vizcaino who has to go down for the year to get his shoulder cleaned out, all right? But when you go from top to bottom, I can say I have pitching depth. That doesn't mean I have quality pitching depth. I mean, we can go up and down a roster. The best young pitcher that has been on the squad, that's been on the team this year, is Mr. Max Fried. And he's actually going to be on the bump in Cleveland in exactly just about an hour from now. He's someone you can depend on. I mean, Foltynewicz, he's going to be back soon. How is he going to look coming off of injury? I mean, in his last rehab start, he got slapped around a little bit. Is he going to come back? Do you expect him to come back and be the ace of the squad right out of the gate? I mean, unfortunately, the Braves pitching right now is not at the top of their game. Kevin Gausman, Max Fried, those are the guys who really have them at that 10-10 spot. And there's nothing better that you can call 10-10. Let's face it, a 10-10 record means you're average. A 10-10 record means you're mediocre. And it's not because of the offense. It's because of their pitching. I mean, we could look at yesterday's game as a prime example. They won one. They lost one. You know, Touki Toussaint got abused. I mean, he barely gets out of the second inning and gives up seven runs. He hit three batters yesterday. The offense had to come and basically save the squad at the end of the game to stay in it. And all of this went down with two outs. It took two outs. You know, so if we want to talk about a bad bullpen at a moment, we can also talk about the Cleveland Indians just basically letting the Atlanta Braves right back into the game. And like I said, shout outs to Ronald Acuña. Can't stop talking about how good this guy is. That's why he got that big money contract, which was a deal for the Braves, just to stick around. There's nothing better than to lock these guys up. And I know the players' unions, they're probably pretty upset at the fact that they gave away some of their larger earning years for security. But when you don't come from money, a little bit of money is a lot. And I'm not going to talk about $50 million, $100 million, like it's a drop in the bucket. I think most of us would gladly take a tiny, tiny portion of that. But in the baseball game of economics, you could say their agents probably got hosed. So when you look at the Braves, Julio Teheran, he's not going to cut it. He's as average as they come. Five runs yesterday, walked four guys. Sean Newcomb can't control the baseball, gets sent down. Kyle Wright, he may be one of the best prospects in Major League Baseball today, but he's not ready for the big show. And then you want to talk about the back end of the bullpen with Vizcaino going down? You want to put in who? You want to put in an A.J. Minter? Probably not. He's hurt. He's injured. You want to keep moving on and rely on a Luke Jackson, a Shane Carl, who's basically a swing player right now for the team? You want to talk about a Tukey? They have to figure out the entire pitching situation. And we can talk up and down about bringing in Craig Kimbrel. I wish we would stop. What's the point? Why do we want to bring in a closer who wants big money? Who wants what, 3 years? $30 to $50 million? He's probably going to have to settle for a year. What's the point in having a closer if you can't get to him safely? That's besides the point. What about the other innings? What about potentially, in the Braves' case, what about that fifth inning to that eighth inning? What are you going to do at five, six, seven, eight? But you're going to pay Craig? You're going to pay Kimbrel all of this money to save a game that may not even be worth saving? He's going to collect dust in the bullpen. I mean, it doesn't matter if you bring in, you know, Mariano Rivera, Hoffman. You know, we can see what Mr. John Smoltz is doing. We can bring them back in a time machine and put them at the end of the bullpen. It doesn't matter if we can't get to them. So everybody can talk about what the Braves are doing. If there's one thing you can chill out on, it's the offense, okay? The offense has them at those 10 wins right now, sans the additions of Max Fried and then Kevin Gausman, who looks like he's just picked up a whole new world coming over from the Orioles at the trade deadline last year. Without those two, I have no idea where the Braves would be. They may not have those 10 wins. They have to figure out the bullpen. Somebody's going to have to step up before it's too late. I'm not someone who stands around and rings alarm bells and says, oh, well, this is just the whole entire season. That's not the case. We have plenty of baseball left. But if we know one thing, everything boils down to pitching. You can get to the playoffs, but if you don't have somebody out there who can control the game, you know, we saw what happened last year with Tukey Toussaint and Fulton Nevich. They barely kept the Braves in there against a Dodgers team who had better pitching, who had more mature bats. This is something that you want to step up on. I've said last year, the Braves, they were, quote-unquote, ahead of schedule, and they certainly were. Their pitchers still need time to develop, and last year shouldn't be fool's gold for you in thinking that they're just going to go out there at the end of the year and compete and win the National League East. There's a lot of competition. The Braves, their pitching has to get better, and I don't know if they have time to let it marinate in the minors or out in Gwinnett before they get called up to the big show. What do you think the Braves need to do with the pitching staff? Do you continue to kind of juggle and bring up players that you think may or may not stick? I think it's early enough in the season where you got to keep trying. You know, you're sending guys down, you're bringing dudes up, you bring up a Touki Toussaint, he can show you he can strike guys out, but he also shows you that he can give up seven runs just like that. The Braves need to figure out what they want to do with that pitching staff, and it starts in the bullpen. This is JR holding it down on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. The Braves, is it time to be alarmed? Is it time to worry about how this squad is going to turn out? Because right now, it doesn't look like they're on their way to the playoffs. Hit me up, 404-741-0929, 404-741-0929. What do the Braves need to do? It's JR holding it down for you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. It's JR here with you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. I'm here with you until 8 p.m. We just got that update from Julian talking about the Braves kicking off in a little while. They got Max Fried on the mound, on the bump, in Cleveland against Bieber, and they're going to need some more of that magic like they had last night. The offense has been powering the Braves. I mean, they're able to go out there and get on base. They're able to drive in runs, but then as soon as you blink, it's like poof, lead gone. Bullpen, giving up the lead, giving up some more runs. And Brian Snitker, he may be manager of the year, but I don't know if he's going to be able to work the same type of magic with the pitchers that he has on the squad right now. The Braves are going to have to figure out their pitching situation. And I don't know, honestly, if it's going to come this year. Who are you trading? You need to basically develop your young arms. The guys who you have on the major league roster right now, you've given them long-term contracts. Nobody. It's not even a thought in anybody's brain that you give up an Acuna, that you give up an Albies. They've signed these players long-term, all right? Acuna gets an 8-year deal. He's not going anywhere. Albies isn't going anywhere. Freddie Freeman right now isn't going anywhere. The only way I see any type of improvement via outside or trade is if they completely start to tank. And then you really have to evaluate, okay, do we have a few veterans? Do we have a few veteran bats that we can move on? Do we want to try and move a McCann? But I think it's too early for that. But I don't know if the Braves can improve what they have on the starting pitching right side right now. Brian Snitker basically said, you know, things are prone to change.
Things can change. Like I say, this business and this game can change with the wind. I mean, you can be going so good and you look up and you're playing like we are right now. We're playing so good. And then, you know, you hit a rough spell. You just got to come out and right the ship.
And, you know, the fact of the matter is baseball is a long season. 162 games. We've only played 20, people. We've only played 20. But when you look at the Braves, we know what the roster looks like. We know who's on the team. We know who's at Gwinnett. We see the pitchers especially get shuttled back and forth between Gwinnett and also SunTrust. So it's not like there's surprises here. The Braves have a wealth of pitching. But it's about having that wealth of pitching actually stand up to the major league test. Because you're going to have peaks and valleys. The team in general is going to go through some stretches where they go on a winning streak. They're going to go on some stretches where they go on a losing streak. Like they started the season. They didn't start the season so hot. Look like they may pull up. And right now they're sitting at 10-10. So like Mr. Snitker said, the manager of the year, yeah, you're going to have your peaks and valleys. And maybe they can take that comeback win yesterday in the second doubleheader. Maybe they can apply that to today and get on a roll, okay, before they head off to Cincinnati and then come back here to play the Colorado Rockies. But we know it's all about execution. And Brian also had to say this when it boiled down to the performance of the bullpen. Listen to Brian Snitker here on the bullpen.
There's weapons there, and they're not executing pitches right now. A lot of times your mental psyche will allow you not to do that. When you try too hard and you try to force a ball in the strike zone and make the perfect pitch, it usually doesn't work that way in this game. You got to be free and easy and let her fly and attack and be on the attack in order for good things to happen.
That's pretty easy to say, but that's not what's going to win you games. It seems that the pitchers right now, they either lack the confidence or they lack the experience. Nobody's going to tell me Touki Toussaint doesn't have electric stuff in his arm, whether or not he can go out there and harness it and help the Braves go to a next level and be reliable is a different situation. You know, Julio Teheran, he's not a young guy by any stretch of the imagination. He has experience playing in the big leagues. But he goes from one start where he's going to go out there and be reliable, and then he's gonna play like he played yesterday, where he gave up 5 runs and he walked 4. And he basically put the Braves in a bad position to start that first game, which they lost 8-4. So it doesn't matter whether or not you're a rookie. It doesn't matter whether you're a young player. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a veteran. The Braves have too many question marks. I think the best case scenario for them this season is if they actually do go back and forth and get into a wild card, because the offense is there. But what they do with that bullpen, whether or not it's healthy or not, what they do with the starting pitching, there's too many question marks. And I'm really extremely worried about Foltynewicz. Because if he comes back, it's almost like a given. Like, everybody expects him to come back and be the player that he was last year. Like, it's etched in stone that he's going to come off the disabled list and he's going to put up almost 200 innings like he did last year. You know, with a 2.85 ERA. He pitched 183 innings. He struck out 202, and he basically helped them get to the playoffs. He was the ace on the staff last year. But when you're coming off of elbow issues, when you're coming off of elbow trouble, do you really expect him to just come back and be the same exact player? And if he is lights out, what is that going to mean towards the end of the season? You think they're going to run him out there every opportunity without thinking about, oh, this is someone who actually had an elbow injury. We have to take our time. Pitchers are coddled nowadays. Pitchers are babied. We watch pitchers. Gone are the days where you had somebody go out there and just pitch every game and complete games like Nolan Ryan. Major League Baseball entering today, we've only had 4 complete games. Quality starts, to me, and my, it's like you're going to let the guy pitch 5 or 6 innings. That's a quality start. So I don't expect too much from the Braves and their pitching this year. Let's check in with Travis, who's calling in from Athens. Hey, Travis, what are your thoughts on the Braves and how they can compete? Because if you ask me, it looks like a lost cause right now.
Well, like you said, it's a long season and 20 games in. Can't really call it right now, but from what I've seen, the only thing I can say about Smith is I feel like he's pulling starters too early. I feel like he's not giving them the benefit of the doubt, especially with us struggling middle relief. And, I mean, with our defense, you know, you got Donaldson, who's the MVP, and Dansby showing out this year, Albies, and obviously Freddie. They're just, I mean, they're all gold glove guys. Those strikes, man. Just get in there and throw strikes and let the defense do what it does.
Yeah, Travis.
That's all I got.
I appreciate you, my man. Shout outs to Travis for calling in. Yeah, that's true. When you look around, and it's not just the offense, the Braves have, they got offense. They have players out there who can go and hit, but then also go out and play in the field. And Josh Donaldson, yes, he's a former MVP. I wouldn't necessarily peg him for that right now. If there's one thing he is doing right now, Josh Donaldson is still getting on base. And they should go out there and throw strikes. But I do disagree with Snitker pulling pitchers, starting pitchers too early. He doesn't have a choice. I mean, if guys are going out there, the starting pitchers, and they're being bludgeoned right out of the box, I don't care if it's Toussaint, I don't care if it's Wright. If they're going out there and they're giving up 5, 6, 7 runs in the first 2 frames, you might as well just call the game already. We're not going to have all these comebacks like we had in the second game last night where you're down to 2 outs and then you can magically come back and Acuna hits a double and boom, we have the lead. That's not going to happen. More often than not, if you give up runs too early, unfortunately, you're going to have to go to that bullpen. And you know what? Shane Carl, he may just get his own personal shuttle to go back and forth. He helped them win that game last night. He didn't look too happy to be heading on back to Gwinnett. But the Braves, they're going to be moving starting pitchers along back and forth the entire season. Right now, they are the definition of mediocrity, and I can't foresee them being any different. But another team right now that's looking like a problem, Atlanta United. What is their issue? What's going on with these teams and our squads here in Atlanta right now? Atlanta United, they may be coming off a championship season. They got one victory? One? Couldn't beat Dallas yesterday? I'm going to talk to my main man, Tom Bogert. He's from MLS.com, one of the experts and expert writers on the site. He's going to fill us in and tell us where Atlanta United has gone wrong and how they can actually execute on all the opportunities that they have in front of them. They're not looking too good right now. We got Tom coming up on the other side of this break. It's JR holding it down for you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. It's JR here with you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. A little more than an hour left, holding it down until 8 p.m. We talked about the Falcons in the draft. We talked about the Braves and their need for some pitching help. It's going to have to come from internally, and they're basically real mediocre right now, sitting at 10-10. But we're going to go from mediocre, and we're going to go straight into disappointing right now. Atlanta United, they're sitting in the 12th spot, the last spot in the Eastern Conference. These are our defending champions. New coach Frank DeBoer, they brought in some new players, and it seems like they always have opportunities, or so far this season, but they haven't been able to capitalize. One win, okay? What, three losses? It's not a good look for them right now. I got an expert on the line who's going to be able to talk to us and fill us in on their opportunities. They have another game upcoming this Saturday against the Colorado Rapids. That'll be right here on 92.9 The Game. But on the line right now, we have Tom Bogert. He is an MLS expert and a writer for MLS.com. Tom, how are you? Happy Easter to you, brother.
Happy Easter to you too, JR. Thanks for having me.
No doubt about it. Thank you for taking the time to come on. So the last time we spoke and we had a chat about Atlanta United, you filled us in on the coaching changes, on the format changes. Now it seems that they've had some time to settle in. It seems that those championship league games are in the rear view. What's the issue right now, and how can they get on track?
That's a big loaded question. Going back to the last time we talked, you know, me and, you know, all the other so-called experts out there, we feel a little stupid right now. Everybody thought that Atlanta United was going to go from strength to strength and just continue their incredible form in MLS, and they've just been bad this season. It's pretty inexplicable when you look at, you know, the talent on the roster and all of the resources that Arthur Blank is putting into the team. It's just almost mind-boggling, you know?
Right. And when you look at yesterday's game against Dallas, for the most part of the game, they were tied up at one. I mean, Atlanta United, they controlled possession for about 70% of the game and the match, and then, you know, Dallas comes in and they score late, boom, 2-1 victory. I mean, and Atlanta United, they go home with another L, and they're not able to add more points to the board. Has it been a matter of being unlucky, or do you think that all of a sudden we'll see this, all of those shots end up going in the back of the net?
So yesterday was a positive sign for Atlanta. Obviously, the loss is bad. I wouldn't go as far as to call it unlucky, and even though a lot of the players are kind of saying that after the game, all the quotes were, we were the better team, we should have won, you know. DeBoer said specifically, if you play 30 games like this, you'll win 28. I think that's just a cop-out. Granted, they did play better, but all season the rub on them has been, sure, they were leading the league, and they lead the league in possession, but they're just not doing anything with it. They're shooting their average shot. It's being taken from like 3 yards behind where they were last year, which means that they're just taking lower value shots, and the more low value shots you take, the less likely you are to score. So I don't know. You can look at possession numbers, but if you're passing it sideways, what does it matter? You can look at shots, but if you're taking them from 25 yards out, what does it matter?
Right. And so in your opinion, what does that say about Frank DeBoer and his offense and his attacking style versus what the team was used to last year when they won the title with Martino?
So last year they absolutely took teams to the woodshed in transition. That's where they were absolutely unstoppable, to the point where teams were just sitting back because they didn't want to give the space to Joseph Martinez, to Tito Villalba, to Miguel Almiron, and Ezequiel Barco. This year, Frank DeBoer, his whole philosophy is possession and death by 1,000 passes, but they just haven't been that good at it. And granted, it's a big, you know, philosophical shift from what they did last year. So, you know, I think he deserves time. But another thing is that DeBoer, he spent, as he's on the record saying something to the effect of 80% of preseason was spent on defensive structure, defensive movement, defensive identity. So all the while, they kind of forgot a little bit about what makes him so great and what makes him so loved is, you know, how great that attack was.
We got Tom Bogert on the line, MLS.com writer, MLS expert. When you look at where we are in the course of the season, we have plenty of games left, plenty of room left for Atlanta United to get back in a groove of things. Sitting in that last spot of the Eastern Conference with only 5 points, what do you think the odds are that they get on that streak, that they get on that run and get right back into contention?
Yeah, so, JR, as you know, I'm a New York guy, so I'm sitting here, I'm wearing a New York Knicks shirt. So just understand, it can always get worse.
Oh, boy.
When you think it's going pretty bad, it's, you know, not that bad. Atlanta, I couldn't possibly imagine a scenario in which they missed the playoffs. They have just so much talent, and, you know, that brute value of the team, you can stumble to wins like that. And they're pretty much not going to win the Supporters Shield right now. They're already 14 points behind LA, but that's fine. As long as they start picking up points, rather, and get above the playoff line, they're going to be fine. The Eastern Conference this year is pretty soft, all things considered, the way that probably partly because of Atlanta have looked so much worse than they did last year. The Red Bulls have looked so much worse than they did last year. Same thing with New York City FC. I mean, it's wide open.
So, I mean, we have a lot of folks who are attending the games and tailgating and heading on inside. They sit through a game like yesterday where you see Barco go out there. Martinez is the only one to score a goal. And then Barco seems that he has plenty of opportunities that just to hit off the bar. It's frustrating. It's infuriating. A lot of fans can't understand why the team can't go out and score. And Frank DeBoer was actually here on air in the studio at 92.9 The Game earlier this week. And he kind of said, you know, the honeymoon process of me with the players is pretty much over. You know, they're not necessarily always happy with me. I'm not always happy with them. How important is that chemistry that the players are able to execute his plan? Or do they agree that it's the right one?
It doesn't really matter if they agree or not, as long as, you know, they're professional enough to go out and try, which they are. I think it'd be way too early to start any of those questions about, you know, has he lost the locker room or whatever. And, you know, again, as I said before, sometimes this takes a little time. Unfortunately for DeBoer, the last two jobs he had, they didn't give him any time. In Italy, he lasted 85 days before they pulled the plug. In England, he lasted 4 games. They gave him 4 league games and they fired him, so... I think that he's a brilliant soccer mind, and as long as he has time, you got to assume he's going to figure it out. That combined with the money that Arthur Blank is putting in the team. So, I don't know. I guess you just assume that everything's going to turn out right, but it's not looking great at the moment.
So give me your opinion on what the rest of the season looks like for Atlanta United, Tom.
So they had a good development yesterday with the chances they created and the fact that DeBoer decided to change up the formation again and he played with 4 in the back instead of 5. This team is so much better suited to play a 4-2-3-1, which is what they played yesterday. Once they are able to get Barco and Villalba on the wings, PT Martinez underneath Joseph Martinez, they're going to be fine. Again, regardless of if you or me are coaching the team, that team's going to pick up wins just because of those 4 players. Hopefully that everything that DeBoer has been working to institute since, you know, January and February, you know, really starts to take root and they look as good as they could and should.
We got Tom Bogert on the line, MLS.com writer, MLS expert. Tom, where can people keep up with you throughout the course of the season?
You can just check out my stuff on MLSsoccer.com and, you know, follow me on Twitter for some bad takes and bad jokes.
What is your Twitter? Go ahead, give it out.
@ Tom Bogert.
Tom, appreciate the time. Thank you for hopping in real quick to talk Atlanta United. Listen, folks, the sky isn't always falling. Atlanta United still has plenty of time to get things done. The Falcons, and they're looking to restart things for the upcoming season, 2019. We're going to talk some NFL draft. It's JR holding it down on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's JR, 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. I got to talk about this real quick. Unfortunately, if you didn't hear, last week it came out via arrest records. Roddy White holds a lot of records right now for the Atlanta Falcons. He was arrested on traffic charges in Gwinnett, driving with a suspended license, HOV lane violation. Man, I know it's Easter Sunday. You out with your family. You driving around. Listen, folks. Just play it safe. Nobody likes dealing with the DMV. Nobody wants to deal with paying their bills and registration and license. Nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to pay their taxes. But these are things that we have to do. And if you don't do it, you end up with big problems. So shout out to my main man, Roddy White. Work everything out, my man. And take that as a lesson for yourself today. If you out on that road, got your family in the back seat, you know, these things tend to be issues that can follow you when you least expect it, especially when you're trying to get up and drive to work and you can't go because you had an issue with your license. Nobody wants to get locked up over a suspended license or a revoked license. So listen, it's safe. It's Easter. Be safe out there. Don't do nothing crazy. Make sure you got all your paperwork put together and straight. The Falcons, they're trying to get straight for the upcoming season. We're going to be talking about them after the break. And once we get this news, do they need to go offense? Do they need to go defense? It's JR holding it down for you on 92.9 The Game, Atlanta Sports Radio. Hit me up at 929 The Game and at JR Sport Brief.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.